presence of Jesus. Genesis 37, verse 19. Got quite a few scriptures to look at, so you may want to really get your Bibles or get a pen and paper. We're going to let the Bible talk to us today. Genesis 37, verse 19. Also index Genesis 39, verse 16 through 21. 16 through 21, and chapter 40, verse 23. And chapter 41, verse 41 through 44. And 45, verse 1 through 9. Chapter 45, verse 1 through 9. And chapter 42, 1 through 10. And chapter 42, verse 21 and 22. Or say, start back over. Yeah, wait on the reader. You're smart. Now, you know it's a problem if the reader say, start her back over. That's why Ward ain't reading. Ward probably got kicked out of middle school. Ward say, start back over. A whole bunch of people probably put their hands up and say, forget it. I'm at chapter 1. I wait for the reader. He ain't going to get all them scriptures anyway. I ain't never finished a message, boy. We start late. We want to talk about don't count me out. Don't discount me. And if you stick around 11:30, we're going to talk about the same thing, but with a different twist. 9 o'clock, I felt that the Lord was leading me to talk to us about don't let others discount you. Don't let others count you out. And at 11:30, we want to talk about don't count yourself out. You can let others discount you, or you can discount yourself. And so many of us, we know the Walmart slogan about discount. What they do is discount from the original cost. And so in other words, somebody is devaluing you. Family members, friend, co-workers, community, church, somebody is devaluing you. Don't see your worth. Don't know what God has placed in you. Don't know who you are and whose you are. And so sometimes people can devalue you based on their opinion. And to tie in a little bit of 11:30 to 9 o'clock, you can agree with their devaluing. You can agree with them. Just because they don't see you as valuable, you can see yourself as the way they see you. And so we want to look at a man in the Bible that was devalued. But the whole time of him being devalued, God was with him. You know, we talked about for the last 2 weeks, God can put a trial on you. God can place you in a place just to see how you're going to respond and how you're going to act. And sometimes many of us agree that we done failed some tests. And then you had to go back and start all back over, take that test again. Like Ward, start over. But in this case, we're going to move on. Ward is going to have to find a way to catch up. But that's true. Sometimes we can allow others to devalue us to the point that we agree with what they feel and what they think. We're going to have to look at ourselves the way God look at us. If God allowed me to go through a trial and I ain't did nothing wrong, but I'm suffering and I ain't did nothing wrong, I'm going through, and I'm living holy. Evidently, he's trying to groom me and strengthen me. We talked about Wednesday, you can't get strength in just looking at ice cream. You don't gain muscles eating candy. You gain muscles through the pain. I thought about that, so yesterday I went to the gym and worked out for a while, about an hour yesterday, and boy, I sure had some pain. Because I've been enjoying a lot of cookies and potato chips at 11:30 at night. It felt good, but then when I saw that I couldn't see my toes, And so we had to take some, I was in Richmond last night, and so we had to take some pictures with some pastors, and I was sucking my stomach in. I told the cameraman, can you hurry up, this girdle about to pop. But I wouldn't have to suck my stomach in if I just stopped eating all that junk food, eating late at night, just have a habit of eating, maybe because I'm stressed. I got to keep my jaws moving because I'm stressed. Go eat some apples or grapes. No, I don't want that. I want cookies, potato chips with dip. Somebody getting hungry already, ain't they? But let's look at this here. Chapter 37, verse 19. Watch what it says.
Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other.
Joseph is who we're talking about. In the Bible, Joseph, God gave him a dream at a young age, as a teenager. And Joseph went and told his brothers about his dream. He said, I saw 11 sheep, 11 herds falling down at my foot, bowing down to me. And the brothers interpret the dream and said, oh, you think you better than us? And Joseph pretty much was saying, I don't think I'm better than you. I'm just excited about this dream, and I want to share it with my family. Somebody gonna get it. I just want to share with somebody about what God has showed me. But the brothers interpret the dream as though we're gonna have to bow down to you. And then he went and told his daddy about the dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down before me. And his daddy interpreted the dream and said, do you think me and your mother are going to bow down to you? And the scripture says, and the brothers hated him even the more. Hated him because of his dream. Hated him because God has showed him early what he's going to be doing in life. That your family is going to have to bow down. And not so much to bow down to worship you, but bow down to live. But they counted him out. How dare you, you little 17-year-old rut? How dare you tell us we're going to bow down to you? We don't care nothing about your dream. Watch what verse 19 says.
Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other.
The brothers saw Joseph coming. Joseph was coming to check on his brothers to bring them some food, and they plotted. They planned to get him. And they said, we're going to stop his dream. Somebody going to get that right there. You don't even know who's plotting in your family to stop your dreams. You done shared so much with somebody that you really care about, and you don't even know that they don't even care about your dreams. Hate your vision. I remember when I was telling people that God showed me Raleigh, back home in Florida, that God showed me I was going to start a church in Raleigh, and the brothers who were going to the prison with me, they criticized me, they ridiculed me. How dare you? This thriving church we got here, 5,000 members, and you talking about going to start a church. You stupid. You crazy. You ain't nothing but a devil. My own buddies crucified me all because I had a vision. And David, the Bible said Joseph had a dream, and his own brothers saw him coming. They said, here come that dreamer. Didn't say, here come my brother. Here come that person with that vision. Here come that person with a goal. Young people, I hope you're hearing me. Here come that person. Who? That's why some people bullying you, because you got a goal. That's why some people don't like you, because you got a vision. And the Bible say, and his brothers, his own brothers, say, here come that dreamer. Here come that goalkeeper. We can't stand him. Let's do something about him. Read that verse 19 again.
Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other.
Here come that dreamer. We can't stand this boy that has a goal. We can't stand somebody that has a vision. That's why God didn't bring you here so you could just exist, young people and people of age. He brought you here so you can have a vision. What's your goal for you and your family? What's your goal for your family and for you? And the Bible said, and his brother said, here he come. And these was his stepbrothers. This was not his main blood brothers from his mama. These was his stepbrothers. His stepbrothers couldn't even stand their own brother. All because daddy favored you. You don't even know God favoring you, and somebody can't stand you because of that. You don't even know that you're sitting in church right now and somebody upset with you because you in church. You singing in the choir. You playing in the band. You don't even know and realize that somebody mad with you because you decided to stay married. You decided to stay single. You decided to stay saved. You decided to stay healed in your body, and somebody mad with you because you decided you wanted a better career. And you don't even know it's somebody in the family that's jealous of you, upset with you because you made a choice. And they can't stand the choice that you made. And here it is, the Bible says his 11 brothers couldn't stand him. But let's look at it, what else the scripture says. Look at Genesis 39, verse 16 through 21. Don't discount me. Come on and say it. Don't discount me. Don't count me out. Just because I'm looking like a loser right now, don't count me out. And his brothers not only took him, but when they saw him from a distance, but they threw him in a hole because their goal was to kill him. His own brothers want to kill him. Why? Because you want to be somebody. Now, your vision ain't came to pass. You just spoke it. You can't see your vision. Wait a minute. They can't see your vision, but you can. I had a vision. I had a dream about a young lady, and this young lady, a powerful, she preached around the world. And she, I saw her in my dream preaching. And so last night when I was at this banquet in Richmond, I said, Lord, if she show up, then she must be the one for her to come and preach. She showed up. I just looked at her. I said, great day. I said, Lord, you something else. When God give you a vision, and this is the part I love, I ain't share that vision with nobody. Some things you can't share with everybody. Some vision God has given you to be quiet with. But in this case, I've heard preachers say Joseph shouldn't have said nothing. But in this case, when I look at history of how Joseph was thrown into prison and how Joseph was accused of rape, he had to say something. Sometimes your mouth will get you in trouble. But God wants you to be in trouble so he can get you out. Watch this here. Verse 16 through 21 says something powerful. Watch what it says.
She kept his cloak beside her.
Now, this woman, now after Joseph's brothers done threw him in a pit, and then they turned around and sold him to the Midianites. The Midianites turned around and sold him to Egypt. So now this man is being dogged out. So your question would be, how did he respond? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Genesis, the 42nd chapter, verse 21. This is going to be a good teaching. I'm already eating it. Genesis 42, verse 21. Watch what it says in Genesis 42, 21.
They said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother.
Now, we're going to talk about that later, what that means. Read.
We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life.
So now you see Joseph, when he got apprehended by his own brothers and thrown into a pit, the Bible says he pleaded with them. He begged his brothers, please don't do this to me. Please don't sell me. Please don't get rid of me. But it was all in God's plan for you to be thrown into prison. It was all in God's plan for you to go through that divorce. It was all in God's plan for you to go through that sickness. Because he needs to put you in position to be a blessing to somebody else. My daughter sent me a letter yesterday, and in the letter, I'm going to read it probably later on, but I'm just going to paraphrase it right now. She sent me a letter. She said, Daddy, she said, I was embarrassed and didn't want nobody to know what I was going through. She said, but now, after I got my mind right, she said, I want you to tell everybody. But she don't know, I've been telling everybody a long time ago. She said, Dad, and this is the part that got me. Now, this is the part that, young people, listen to me. Young people, listen to me carefully. This is the part that really blew my mind. She said, addiction started way before I started doing meth and heroin. She said, addiction started with the way you think. Blew my mind. She said, addiction started when you the first dollar you stole. Addiction started when you started lying. Because addiction has to lead up to. So young people, I hope you're listening to me. So now this is powerful. So addiction ain't when you start doing heroin and meth. No, addiction started with the way you think. So you got to change the way you think. You got to look at yourself as valuable. And then she said something in a letter that confirmed my message. She said, I devalued myself. I said, girl, go on. You confirming what I'm going to preach. You are where you at because of the way you think. You got to elevate your thoughts, elevate who you are, and know whose you are. You ain't the dumbest, you ain't the smartest, but you're a child of God. Quit letting people label you and quit labeling yourself. Fight through what you're going through. Fight through what your shortcomings. Fight through it. Listen, I can't stand standing in front of folks. I don't like standing in front of folks. I can't stand it. Just get on my nerves to stand in front of folks. But I fight through it because this is what I'm called to do. See, it ain't about how I feel. It's about who I'm blessing. God want to elevate you so you can be a blessing to somebody. He didn't put you on this earth so you can get a degree and get a lot of money and get married and get a nice house, get a nice car, pay off all your bills, and you happy. He put you on here so you can bless that person you sit next to. But if you ain't careful, you'll get comfortable and all you think about is how you can get out of, how you can be blessed. And don't even realize God putting you in a tough situation so he can bless somebody else. Watch what it says in Genesis 39, verse 16. Read it again.
She kept his cloak beside her.
Now here it is. Your brothers done got rid of you. They devalued you. They discounted you. Your own brothers. And then the brothers lied and told their daddy, hey, your son, not our brother, your son, he dead now. They took his favorite coat off of him, killed the animal, put blood all on the coat, and then showed it to the daddy. Here you go, your son dead. An animal killed him. And made the daddy think that his son was killed by an animal. Can you imagine the torture of this father? That his son was ate up by an animal? His son screaming? This is what he got to lay down every night and think about, that his son is dead. And they don't even know the brothers done put him in and sold him over to Egypt. Don't even know his own brothers, his own family members done lied to their daddy. Where all the liars at? Don't raise your hand. But that's where your lie gonna get you to a place where you're gonna try to figure out, how did I get here? But it all started with lies. When you lie to yourself, see, you think that you're lying to somebody else, but don't realize you lying to yourself. I had to tell myself yesterday, I had to face a predicament yesterday, and I said, Lord, please don't let me lie. Because I can lie and get out of this easy. But Lord, don't let me lie. And so finally I had to tell the man the truth, and the man bailed me out. He said, oh, no, Reb, that's not what I was looking for. I said, Lord Jesus, I was plotting to lie, and it wasn't even necessary. So I just hold that lie for later. I know I'm going to need that card later. Genesis 39, verse 16 says what?
She kept his cloak beside her.
First, you get thrown into a pit by your brothers. Second, your brothers sell you to the Midianites. Third, the Midianites sell you to Egypt. And now fourth, here you are, a housekeeper in one of the men's houses, and the wife wants to sleep with you, and you're trying to be a child of God. The wife got you in a predicament where the husband ain't watching, and she see this handsome. See, you don't even realize when you get saved, your value go up. That's why you catching so much problems. That's why you're having so much issues going on in your life and in your mind and in your body and in your house, because your value is so high, the enemy's trying to devalue you. Watch what it says in verse what?
16, she kept his cloak beside her.
Now, after the woman accused him, she tried to get him to sleep with her. He told her no. The Bible say every day she kept walking in there. She must have came in there in a negligee. He looked at her and turned his head. He said, nope. She was smelling real good because he ain't had a woman ever. So guess what? She kept coming at him. He said, no, you got to value God more than you value your feelings. Just because you have an urge, just because you have feelings, just because you have desires, you got to make sure your feelings, your urges, and your desires don't get in the way of praising God. Because God can mess around and burn all your desires up. Come on and read, reader.
She kept his cloak beside her.
She kept, after she told him to sleep with her, he said, no. He in there minding his business, mopping the floor, cleaning the kitchen, and all of a sudden she comes in there and pin him down. She said, oh, I'm going to take it. He said, oh, no, you ain't. And slipped from up under her arms. And she reached back and grabbed his coat, snatched it off him because she thought she was going to take it. Homeboy slipped right on out of it. I know what Joseph did because I did it before. When the police grabbed me, I'm in the corner smoking dope one day, and the police snuck up on me and grabbed my collar. I slipped right on out of it. Left my mama chicken right there. It's probably still right there today. Either my mama get chicken or I go to jail. Which one is going to be? She ain't going to get no chicken tonight. So watch what the verse 16 says.
She kept his cloak beside her.
After she took his cloak, he slipped away because he refused to sleep with her. His brothers done threw him in prison, got rid of him, and now he's a slave cleaning houses. And now all of a sudden, the woman of the house grabbed his coat and accused him of trying to rape her. She lied on him, and it was all God's plan. God was setting you up to be valued. Along the way, man was devaluing you, and God was setting him up to value him. Now she got his coat. Watch what happened, Rita.
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home.
With her freaky self. She gonna keep his coat and lay with his coat all night long till her husband come home. She was just smelling his coat because she was just freak. Read.
Then she told him the story. That Hebrew slave you brought us.
Now look what she tell her husband, a lie. She tells her husband a lie. Watch what she say to her husband.
That Hebrew slave you brought us.
You brought a slave. She devalued him by calling him a slave. That Hebrew slave you brought up in here. What happened, Rita?
Came to make a sport of me.
He tried to rape me. Read.
But as soon as I screamed for help.
Look at this lie this woman telling. As soon as I started screaming, he took off running.
He left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.
The whole time, God was valuing him while the woman was devaluing him. Bullying been started. It didn't just start in high school and middle school. It's even going on even in church. The woman bullied and lied and said, he tried to rape me. Watch what else it says.
When his master heard the story, his wife told him.
When the husband heard, now he hired the boy.
Saying, this is how your slave treated me.
Look, she lying.
He burned with anger.
He's upset.
Joseph's master took him and put him in prison.
Look at this. The man didn't even give Joseph an opportunity to tell what happened. He immediately believed his lying wife. He immediately believed the woman. She done slept with somebody before. She has a history of sleeping with the maids, the helps. And this boy here, clean looking, 17 years old, handsome, nice looking, got a little muscles. Instead of her butt somewhere taking care of the kitchen, making sure things gonna be ready for her husband to come home, she done around there walking around the house looking at him. And that boy minding his business. When you become a Christian, a bona fide one, because see, some of us just wearing a title. And that's why the world agree with you, because you just wear a title called Christian. But when you're a bona fide Christian, you'll get undercut. You'll get dogged out by people not only in the house, but in the church. Read.
Joseph's master took him and put him in prison.
Now he goes from thrown in a pit to being sold to being lied about rape. To now he's in prison. He's devalued. And you just read Genesis 42. Look at verse 21 again, Rita. Genesis 42, verse 21. How did Joseph feel about this, Rita?
They said to each one another.
Yes.
Surely we are being punished because of our brother.
Keep reading.
We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life. But we would not listen.
He's pleading for his release. He's pleading that you don't do this to me. Why would you devalue me as much as I've done for you? And 9 out of 10, the people that hurt you is the ones you show the most love to. The one you stayed up with all night long. And 9 out of 10, the hurt comes from the child that you had to stay up and care to the hospital. And now when you get sick, they act like they don't even know you. Don't even call and check on you. and the pain you go through knowing that your own child, your own baby, act like they don't even know you. But look at God. The whole time, God was setting you up so you can hear this message right here. Watch what it says.
We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life.
Yes.
But we would not listen.
We would not listen.
That's why this distress has come on us.
Look at this. He was crying out. Joseph was crying out, "Don't do this to me." Can you imagine? He probably was telling his master, "Master, I didn't rape your wife. What you trying to say? My wife a liar?" Can you see the master getting hot? "You gonna tell me my wife lying on me? Master, I didn't do it. I ain't telling you your wife is a liar. I'm just telling you, I'm telling you the truth. Now you figure out what your wife doing." "Master, I did not do it. Master, you trusted me with your house. You trusted me with your wife. And I wouldn't do this kind of ignorance because I love God more than I love this money. I love God more than I love this situation." And some of y'all being disrespected by people in the church. Some of y'all being hurt by people in the church, the parents and the children. And God is saying, "But I validated you. You want to quit because you're getting hurt in the church." And God say, "But I'm valuing you. You want to throw in the towel all because you're going through, but you don't even realize I'm valuing you. I can't develop you and make you and carry you to the next level until you go through some tears. You got to have church hurt. You got to be disrespected in the church. You got to be hurt in the church. You got to go through in the church. But if you can take church hurt, you can make it, baby." And you think that nobody's supposed to dog you out in the church. Yes, you are going to get dogged out. Yes, you are going to be talked about in the church because everybody got to die daily. But some people just don't want to die that day. I let the choir sing because I was struggling over there. I was going through. I said, "Oh, God, I'm going through in my head. What's going on here, God? I rebuke myself." See, I ain't going to just talk about it and don't do it. The whole time I'm over there struggling trying to praise God. Why? Because my mind is thinking about what happened the other day. And I'm struggling. I'm going through. So let me get out of this situation and praise my God. And not let me do it by myself. But hopefully I can find somebody to praise him with me. You ain't got to know my business, but just praise him with me. I wonder what he's going through. His wife must be said something. He must be heard something. He must be saw something. Your problem is you're nosy. Praise him with me without knowing my business. Now I got in his presence because the Bible says where there's two or three, he's in the midst. So I done found somebody else who's giving God glory. And God said, "Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours." What verse you been reading?
Verse 21.
What it says?
We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life.
Go to Genesis 39. Go back to Genesis 39.
Verse 20.
Yes.
Joseph's master took him and put him in prison.
He's accused of rape. And then he's put in prison. He went from a slave to a prisoner. Everything about his walk is going backwards. My own brothers, I'm here because of my brothers. My daddy don't even know if I'm dead or alive. Nobody coming to help me. Now I got me a good paying job. I like this job. I'm in the house. Even though I'm a slave, I'm in the house. I'm in the air condition. My master leave a little crumbs on the table for me. I clean the house and make sure my master, when he come home, everything is safe. But his woman want to accuse me of trying to sleep with her. And it's all in God's plan. It was all God's plan to let this woman bother you so that he can elevate you. Because God knows something getting ready to happen down the road. God knows something getting ready to go happen major in your house down the street. So I got to get you prepared for down the street. See, when 9/11 happened, there was a whole bunch of people upset. But see, God had to have somebody in the midst to say, "You know what? God, you're still great." And somebody got to see God in the midst of tears. Watch what it says, Rita.
Joseph's master took him and put him in prison.
Now he's in prison.
The place where the king's prisoners were confined.
Yes.
But while Joseph was there in the prison.
While Joseph was in prison.
The Lord was with him.
Say it again.
The Lord was with him.
Go back and say that part.
But while Joseph was there in the prison.
While you are suffering.
The Lord was with him.
Say it again.
But while Joseph was there in the prison.
While you going through.
The Lord was with him.
Say it again.
But while Joseph was there in the prison.
While you crying.
The Lord was with him.
That's all I need to know. I ain't got my freedom, but I got God. I ain't got no money, but I got God. I ain't got no house, but I got God. All I need to know, God, are you with me? Because your problems will preach louder than the gospel. And your biggest pain is coming from the very people you sacrificed for. The least person you expect to hurt you. The Bible says this about pain. Give room for it. Make space. In other words, slide over. Pain coming. Embrace it. We've been talking about that. Embrace pain. You won't be stressed out if you learn how to embrace. That got quiet. If you learn how to embrace what you don't want to go through, you're going to be stressed out. Now you're trying to find pills and liquor or sex to get you out of that stress situation when you already live in holy, right? You live in holy, right? You ain't did nothing wrong, right? Then God must be trying to elevate you. But now if you're going through something because you did something wrong, then he's trying to get you right. He's trying to punish you to get you to come out. But if you're already in something and you say, God, I ain't did nothing wrong, then God's trying to elevate you. I went to the gym and I worked out. I went extra 5 minutes on this, extra 10 minutes on that, when I normally would only do 7 minutes, 20 minutes, lift a little bit of weights. I went extra. Why? Because I've been preaching to myself. If you want to look better, if you want to feel better, you got to go through some pain. I looked at them potato chips last night when I got home by 12 o'clock. I said, not tonight, potato chips. You can quit talking. Then I looked in the refrigerator because I'm still a little hungry. I said, I'm just going to find some water, drink some milk, and go to bed. I looked in the refrigerator and I saw the dip. The dip said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing? What you gonna do? Stick your finger in me? No, the potato chips say he wants you. So the potato chips got the dip. And I got the potato chips and the dip. So now I got to work it off today. That's why I'm walking right now. The cameraman said, I wish you'd be still. No, I'm trying to work the potato chips off. Now I got an aisle. I can walk down the aisle too. Watch what I say. 39.
While Joseph was there in prison.
While he was in prison.
The Lord was with him.
Yes.
He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden.
So look at this. You being dogged out and God is favoring you every place you go. Everywhere you go, you get favor. Even though it's a place you don't want to be. You don't even want to be in that department. You don't even want to be in this situation. But God keep favoring you while you're in it. You think you can feel, you fail to realize something. You want to apply for a job that's going to pay you more money and you want to go to that department so bad and don't realize somebody left that department. The place that you want to go in that's vacant, somebody saw it as bad. That's why they left. And you think you're going to go to somewhere or go into a relationship and don't have no trouble? Oh, no, you done lost your mind. Look at this here. Genesis 40, verse 23. Genesis 40, I got to hurry. Genesis 40, verse 23.
The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph.
Now you're in prison. Joseph helped you because you're on probation. You're getting ready to get out of prison. You're getting ready to get out. You done helped somebody get on their feet. Somebody that got some money from you, somebody got a car from you, somebody got clothes from you, and now all of a sudden they're getting ready to get money and get blessings and get an overflow, and the Bible says, and they forgot it. They forgot the very thing that you did for them, because all they cared about was them making a record deal, them getting ahead. And you done put all your eggs into this person, and the Bible says, and they forgot Joseph. And it was all in God's plan for Joseph to be accused of rape, for Joseph to be forgotten, so God can elevate him. And you don't even see. Think about it. If you'd have went through all this that Joseph going through right now, how many of you would say, I'm through? I'd have gave up while I was in the pit. Because I'd have been in that pit thinking about how I could get my brothers back. I'm sneaking out my master's window. I'm going back to get all 11 of them rascals. Learn how to handle pain with patience. You didn't do nothing wrong, but what you're going through don't feel good. But God trying to elevate you in the way you think. How are you going to be better and different thinking the way you think now? Watch what it says, Rita.
The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph.
So Joseph was forgotten.
He forgot him.
Now go run to Genesis 41, 41 through 44. And also Genesis 45, 1 through 9. Now let's hurry up and run faster.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph.
Now here, now watch this. All this you've been going through for 20 years. 20 years you've been in pain. 20 years you've been forgotten. 20 years you ain't seen your brothers. 20 years you've been dogged out of slave and in prison. 20 years you've been accused of rape. 20 years you've been forgotten. And now it's time for your elevation. And watch what happened in verse 41.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph.
Pharaoh, the president, said to Joseph.
I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.
You had to go through all that so you can be elevated. I'm putting you now in charge. Read.
Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger.
Pharaoh took his vice president ring off.
And put it on Joseph's finger.
And put it on Joseph's finger. So now everybody see you know you second in charge. You the man. Read.
He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck.
Oh, that's probably where you get them chains from now. You still think you Joseph? You got to go through something with that chain. He get a ring. He get a robe. Now he get a necklace. And he get a chariot. But it all started when his brother said, let's kill him. And God was behind the plot and wouldn't let him get killed. Do you know? Can I bless you? Do you know? No, I'm going to take it back. You don't know. You don't even realize how many people was plotting against you. You made it this far without even knowing. God allowing you to hear this message right now so you can understand there were some people plotting to get rid of you. When you was in the hospital, somebody was plotting. While you were going through a divorce, somebody was plotting. While your child was sick, somebody was plotting. When you lost your job, somebody was plotting. When your car broke down, somebody was plotting. When your husband and wife, y'all had some hard times, somebody was plotting. And now look at you. You back on your feet with another car. You got you another house. Your marriage back together. Your health getting stronger. And somebody who was plotting against you was upset now. I can't believe you made it. I thought sure you ought to get a divorce by now. I was hoping that you wouldn't make it. I was hoping you would fail school. But look at you. And you don't even realize God was with you the whole time somebody else was plotting. A co-worker that you hired was plotting. Went behind your back to tell the boss as though he is the one looking out for the boss to make you look bad. You lost all that money because of a liar. And they thought you were going to lose. And they don't realize God was with you. When me and my wife first closed on our house, and as soon as we closed, both of us lost our job the same day. The same day we both lost our jobs, and it was God's will. We go from $100,000 together to down to zero together on the same day and just close. And your mortgage $2,000 a month. Just close. And my wife, she was director and manager, and she hired all these Christians. She hired all these Christians to come and work for her. And eventually she got fired. And the word got back to us from the Christians. Let's see what happened to their house now. Let's see if they get to keep their house now. So all this time when you was working for her, our house was your problem. So all this time, you was hoping something bad, and you got hired by her. You're making $40,000 because of her. And now all of a sudden, we done lost our jobs, but we never lost our house. And then I started reading about you down the road and saw where you lost your job. And now you went from a house to an apartment. But I didn't boast. See, God don't want you to boast. When people start suffering who did you wrong, you ought to have a heart for them. Not, I'm glad it's your turn now. No, God didn't elevate you so that you can 99999. Read, Rita.
He had him riding a chariot as his second in command.
That boy there, that boy big time now. That boy wearing a suit now. He ain't wearing no slave clothes. He got on cologne, Jordache, jeans. Boy got a sky, he wear it to the side now. When you get elevated, don't forget where you came from. And when you get elevated real soon, especially young folks, you get elevated real soon, God try to show you something. Hey, don't get caught up because I can't snatch it from you. You living high today, but tomorrow you suffering. I remember when I came here in 99, I used to work in the finance world, had all this experience, 20 years of experience working in the financial world, working for American Express. Back in 1999, the job market was booming. I mean, it was booming in 99 because Clinton was your president. Okay, my president too. You could quit a job and go to another just like that. You didn't even care. You got mad with the boss. I'm out of here. Go next door. You hired. And God wouldn't let me get hired. And the job market booming. Everywhere I went, they told me, you're the perfect fit. Every major corporation in Raleigh was saying, you're a perfect fit. Had interviews lined up and all excited about the interviews, and they were going to pay me about $50,000. That was in 1999. Oh, my God. I set the alarm clock. I set two of them. One by my bed and one in the bathroom. And neither one of them went off. God had me to oversleep because I want to set you up. I know you're qualified. You know you can get a good paying job. But I ain't gonna let you get one. And the first job I got was cleaning toilets. God get me in the bathroom cleaning toilets, and people won't even flush them. You use the bathroom, your one and two still sitting in the toilet. And I don't even have a plunger. All I got is gloves. And I got to reach in there. And I'm crying, saying, I don't deserve this. I'm better than this. I come from a nice upbringing. And God said, yeah, but I want to change your way of thinking. You caring about sticking your hand and getting this doo-doo out and cleaning this MP out, but I want to change the way you think. And I finally broke down and said, okay, God, what you want? What you want from me? I got all this education. I got all this experience, and everybody ought to be hiring me. Why I ain't getting a job? Why you got me cleaning toilets at 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, because the people you're going to reach are going to need to be clean. That's what he told me. The people you're going to reach are going to need to be clean. You didn't have a plunger then. You didn't have no help to get that stuff out. You ain't going to have no help to preach the word but me. Everybody in the audience ain't going to be with you. Some people in the audience who are called preachers and deacons are going to look at you as like you're crazy. You're going to lay your hands on them and ordain them, and they're going to still look at you as though you're whack. So when there ain't nobody saying amen, stand still. And preach anyway. When nobody won't be with you. But I'm going to elevate you out the doo-doo. We in Jesus, every night, nobody flushing the toilets again. I'm leaving science flush the toilet. And these are educated folks. These are people who wear suits and ties. And I'm saying to myself, yo, please forgive me. I know I'm going left field. If I'm reaching in this toilet, and that's all I see is number two, all this paper towel up here, you ain't cleaning nothing. Ain't washing your hands either.
He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh.
Look where he going. When ain't nobody with you. I got my gloves on. I'm diving in today. Why you got me cleaning this? I'm an office professional. I wear suit and tie in the office. Why you got me doing this, God? Why you got me cleaning toilets 2 o'clock in the morning? You told me to come preach, but I'm cleaning toilets. I need to show you what you're going to be cleaning. You got to clean people's minds. Because a lot of people got a stinking, thinking way of living. They wearing nice clothes, but they stinking and they thinking. We got young people thinking they got it going on and don't know they ain't got nothing going on. They living off mom and daddy, don't even know they can't even make it on their own. So I need you to clean all this stinking thinking. Thinking that they can't make it. Think they can't be somebody in Christ. So that's why I got you clean the toilets, Eric, so that one day you can stand flat-footed. So now that I look back 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I can look back and appreciate clean the toilets now. Couldn't appreciate it then, but when I look back, I can say, God, I thank you for the pain. If it wasn't for the pain, I wouldn't be preaching now. And how many of you all would be in church today if I had to change my mind? How would this church grow? How would you grow if I had to change my mind in the way I was looking at things? Hang in there. You ain't did nothing wrong. You're going to bring me, God, from American Express, brand new house, sitting on a golf course in the lake, and up here, you're going to put me in an apartment. No, no. You put me trailer park. A brand new house to a trailer park? Who does that? God is in the elevation. I am elevating you. You got me in a suit and tie, brand new car, and now you got me cleaning toilets? Who does that? I do. I know the plans I have for you. I know what I'm preparing you for. I'm preparing you for better. But I need to let you cry a little bit now. I need you to suffer a little bit so you can be better down the road. You looking at right now. Stop looking at right now and have a goal and have a vision. Stop looking at your pain. Your pain is not it. That's not even a dead end. Your pain is not even a dead end. It's holding up a dead end sign, but mow it down. We're not talking about color. We ain't talking about, this is not, Jesus is not a black man or a white man. He's a spirit. And so he wants you to walk in the spirit and not walk in color. He ain't coming back for no African-American. He ain't coming back for no white man or white woman. He coming back for himself. And that's the problem that we have in churches. We think this is, what kind of church is it? It's multicultural. I went to the hospital, and a young man, he was a nurse, and I went and checked on a young girl who got hit in a car accident. The daddy was up in Ohio. Cousin had just murdered himself, so he went to go visit them. And then the daughter was in a major car accident. So he called, no, dung, nothing. I'm going to be here for a while. You might want to sit there. And so I went to check on her. And so I was a little ashamed, just a little shame, just a little. I had a little shame in me. I said, well, I just came to check on you. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor. Oh, you're welcome, darling. You all right? Yes, Pastor. Pastor. Oh, you're welcome, baby. Then the nurse came in. He said, a little young boy, about 23 years old, he said, excuse me. He said, who is this? She looked at me. I looked at her. I looked at him. I said, I'm her pastor. He said, oh, well, praise the Lord. He said, do you mind if I tell you about your condition to your pastor? She said, yeah, go ahead. He said, but before I tell you, can we pray? I said, Lord Jesus. That's what I should have went in there and did. I should have went in there and prayed. But no, I'm too busy being ashamed. Thinking that my title brought prayer in. And here this boy is a nurse. And he said, can I pray with you? And he grabbed her hand and he prayed with her. He said, Father, thank you for her pastor who came to check on her, strengthen him and his congregation. Somebody that don't even know you prayed for you. You made it this far because of somebody praying for you. Quit looking at your circumstances and devaluing yourself. The whole time Joseph was accused of rape, Joseph thrown in prison, Joseph was forgotten while in prison, and now chapter 41, verse 41 says what?
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.
The whole time you were devalued, God already had a spot set up for you to elevate you. He's not going to elevate you so that you can brag. He's elevating you so that you can love. Reach out to the people that dog you out. Forgive people that hurt you. And your greatest pain is going to come from those that's up under your roof. It's easy for you to look outside your house and say, who's the enemy? And don't even know you're sleeping with it. And you're going to have to forgive the person that's in, under your roof. That's why God is allowing you to go through stuff. I was considered the black sheep in my family. My family looked at me as though I was nobody. Oh, yeah, little baby boy, ain't nothing to him. I'm going to college. Nobody came to my graduation. My high school. Oh, I didn't graduate. I had to wait later because I messed up some classes. But because I messed up classes, it was my fault. But I did graduate from high school, and you still looked at me as though I was nobody. Grandmama put me on punishments, told me I couldn't go outside after 9 o'clock, but you outside at 11 o'clock, but you looked at me as though I was nobody. I watched Mama die. You wouldn't even come to the funeral and help me. I watched my daddy die, and it wasn't even my daddy. It was my granddaddy. He was your daddy. And you wouldn't even come and see about your own daddy. But you counted me out. I inherited a house and I had to pay a mortgage on it. Let's see who's going to pay that mortgage now. And I got to go out there and mop floors and clean and cut grass just to pay a mortgage I don't even know how to pay. I'm 21 years old. I don't know nothing about paying bills. Young people, listen to me. Get with your parents and learn how to pay bills. Because if they die today, you're going to be in the streets. Mama was trying to show me how to cook, but I'm too busy looking at cartoons. Mama was trying to show me how to pay bills, but I'm too busy having fun with my friends. Now Mama and Daddy dead, and I got to try to figure out how to pay these bills. Lights get cut off. Why did lights cut off? Because you got to pay the light bill. What's that? Where you going to pay it at? Well, you got to put it in your name. How do you do that? How do you put lights in your name? How do you put the phone in your name? I don't know nothing about all that because I didn't take time to learn. I was too busy trying to be cool. Now I'm cool broke. Didn't get no driver's license until I got 21. Too lazy to get driver's license. I'm driving though. I'm always getting somebody else's car. They ain't know I had no license. Hey, man, let me hold your car to go around the corner. Around the corner was out of town. Now, if I say I'm going up the block, then I'm going out, you know, Crosstown. I'm just going to fake it till I make it. Until one day I get caught doing wrong. And when I got caught, got put in jail for doing wrong at 21 years old, while laying up there in that cell, I said, God, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. If you get me out of this, God, I promise I'll serve you. Why you got to get locked up to serve God? I did prison ministry for 13 years, Florida State Prison, death row inmates for 13 years. I did prison ministry. I wasn't in prison. I did prison ministry. I had a lot of inmates would tell me how great God was when they were locked up, how they loved their family when they were locked up. It's amazing what you say when you locked up. It's when you're free, you got a problem. Your word is bond. God is allowing you to go through something so you can value your word. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. When will your word mean something? Why are you a professional liar when Revelation, the 20th chapter, say all liars are going to burn? Stop lying. My daughter just sent us a letter yesterday, Friday, rather, and said, hey, Daddy, tell the people. My daughter is back down my desk now. She said, Daddy, tell the people. I was ashamed at first, Daddy, but I ain't ashamed no more. Tell the people, Daddy, especially the teenagers. Addiction don't start when you first put the needle in your arm. This is from a girl who was addicted to drugs. You ought to listen to somebody who done been there. She didn't come from an abused family. She come from a middle-class family. She had a car. Almost every 5 years, she had a different car. BMWs. Nice school, nice clothes. She had money, plenty of money. Her mom and daddy looked out for her. But she wanted to tip and try something different. And you got to understand something about addiction and getting high and getting drunk. The first one always good. Whenever you get drunk, that first drunk is the best one. Whenever you get high, that's the best high you ever had. And that's when you become addicted, because you want to get that first one again. That's why you're still doing wrong, because you want to get that high again. And that's why you keep going higher and higher. Daddy, tell them. Tell them what, baby? Tell the young teenagers and the mothers and the fathers, Daddy. Tell them. Addiction starts when they first start lying. Addiction starts when they start thinking wrong and living in it. Tell them, Daddy, when they start drinking, the first beer is addiction. The first dollar they steal, that mom ain't gonna miss this. That's where addiction starts. It's the little thing. But it takes her to go to Trosa to realize it's the little thing. But while she's in Trosa in rehab, she's able to tell somebody. She told me in the letter, she said, Dad, I'm glad I'm here. She said, Dad, we have graduation. We got some good food here. These people here are all on the same level. Nobody can look at me as though I'm nobody. She said, because we all are in the same boat. And then it's the part that got me. This is the part that blew me away that she said. This part right here blew me away. She said, but it's a shame that some people are here for the wrong reason. You volunteer to go to Trosa. You volunteer to go to try to get help. Why are you flim-flamming the people that's trying to help you? Why are you asking for drugs to come over the fence and you're there for the reason? Don't you want real help? Don't you want to be a better Christian? Why are you in God's house flim-flamming? Make up your mind. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. If it hurt me, I'm going to serve him. If I die, I'm going to serve him. I got to serve him with my whole heart. I know church get boring. Church. But not Jesus. And I keep saying this. You're going to have to fight you. You keep trying to fight everybody around you, but you won't deal with you. How weak are you? Deal with it. What kind of attitude you got? Deal with it. You won't deal with you. You keep dealing with every. The teacher gave me an F. Okay. then go earn an A. My teacher told me, she said, you'll never make it. My English teacher told me that, my English. Now, you know I can butcher, see that? There you go. My English teacher, she said, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to never be nobody. She told me that. So I wrote her a letter, a paragraph, really. I said, I'm going to kill myself. I'm in high school, and I let a teacher devalue me, who's supposed to be trying to help me. But she couldn't help me because I wouldn't help myself. I told her, I said, I'm going to kill myself since I ain't going to be nobody. And then she came to my rescue. She said, no, don't kill yourself. Please don't. She said, can I talk to you? Don't do that. Don't take yourself out. Somebody needs you. I never forget she said that. Somebody needs you. Don't kill yourself. Just imagine, where would you be? I'm not bragging about myself. Where would you be if I'd have killed myself? Young people are killing themselves because they devalue who they are. Stress. Everybody wants you to make an A. I can't make a C. Sometime, it's still passing. What is this, a C? Is this a C? Mama, what did you make when you was in that grade? I'm taking trig. You just took basic math and made a C, Mama. I learned how to appreciate my children where they were. Encourage them because I know there's stress on them. Hey, baby, how your grades? Dad, I made a D in that class. Okay. And I'm the one paying for the class in college. I said, it's going to be all right. How you feel about keep pushing yourself? I'm going to keep pushing myself, Dad. Is there anything I can do to help you? Because I sure can't study this stuff. I'll hire somebody. She said, no, Dad, I'm good. I said, okay, cool. All right. We're going to do better next week, right? Dad, I'm going to try. Cool. Try. Don't give up on yourself. I'm going to let you go home because you're tired. Joseph got thrown into prison, sold by his brothers. His own family sold him. Then he got accused of rape. Then he thrown in prison, and the people in prison was getting ready to get out of prison, and they forgot about it. But in chapter 41, he got elevated. And the king gave him the ring to be in charge like him. And I'm going to let you go home because you're tired. I ain't tired. Somebody said, that's why you got quiet. See, if you said amen, I'd go ahead and finish. Since you ain't say amen, Maurice, since you ain't say amen, I'm going to keep going. Maurice probably giving a signal to Alicia and the keyboard, play. I'm going to let you go home. Watch this. A famine hit Egypt. Nothing was growing for 7 years. And Joseph the Christian, that's why you want to pray for wisdom. Because when the world go down, you stay up. Joseph saw that there was a famine. God showed him a vision. The whole land going to suffer. Everybody going to be dying and crying for food. Joseph got an idea. Instead of us eating up all the food in one day, how about I put some aside and save it? Every time something grows, I save it. Are you listening? Every time my money increases, take a portion, save it. For hard times. And hard times came. And David and Joseph's brothers had to come to Joseph to beg for food. And they didn't know it was Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says, hid himself from his brothers and had an interpreter to talk to his brothers. And David played games with them because I want to see, are you genuine or are you still fake? And the Bible says, he told his brothers, he said, y'all came here to spy on me, didn't you? And they didn't know that was Joseph talking. Joseph, no, the brothers said, no, we didn't come to spy. We came to buy some food. We hungry. Joseph said, no, you came to spy on me. He said, how many of y'all? Because Joseph already know. It's supposed to have been 12. He's supposed to be dead. So it's only 11 back home. And one of the brothers stood and said, it's 11 of us. Joseph said, aha. Finally told the truth. 20 years later, and the fast forward, finally, after Joseph got through playing games with them, Joseph said he couldn't take no more. He started crying. He told his brothers, come here. It's me, your brother Joseph. And the Bible said they had fear. They were scared. How can I be our brother when we killed him 20 years ago? We sold him. Joseph said, watch this. Joseph said, you had to do that. You had to sell me. You had to dog me out so I can be in this position now to save you. So are you listening, Christian? If you're going through something, hang in there. You ain't did nothing wrong. Every time you look around, you're getting dogged out. You're getting something accusing you. You're getting abused. You're getting fired. You're getting hurt. You're getting sick. You're getting whatever. Don't worry about it. You ain't did nothing wrong. You're just a believer. And God is putting you in position to save your family. Don't let the people discount you. And don't discount yourself. You're going through something. I know you are. I can feel it. But don't discount yourself. Don't let other people discount you. And stop all this black power. God ain't saving you because you black or white. God ain't helping you because of your color. He's helping you because of the blood of Jesus. Now, I know this ain't popular when I'm preaching. This ain't popular. Because I know plenty of churches where this is Black Africa Month. I know my heritage. I know where I came from. But I got to wear that Shaka Zulu robe. Most of these people up here, most of these churches wearing this Shaka Zulu robe, they ain't never been to Africa. This Black History Month. I'm black every day. But I ain't come to talk about no Black Eric or Black Jesus. I come to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop all this racism. And stop being mad with people who are racist. Learn to pray for them. I was listening to the, what is that, the 51 BET Awards last night. We got to come together. Everybody got the mic. We got to come together. You sound so good. What y'all gonna do first? The first thing you got to do is seek God. You're wasting your time trying to feed and help everybody when God didn't direct you. That's powerful right there. There's some people God will tell you, not them. You know, let me tell you something as your pastor. I got to help you. I got to help you as your pastor. I don't try to pastor you so I can win you as my best friend. I try to pastor you so I can get you to heaven. That when they wheel you up here to this altar, I ain't got to lie. I can say with authority, they're faithful. They love God. Now I can tell the rest of the people that's coming to watch your funeral, they're going to hell. Now, when we don't know where you went, because of the way you live, so we don't say nothing about where you went. We just talk about how good God is. We let God determine where you went. But when you're faithful and we know you love the Lord, we can tell without a shadow of a doubt, that brother, that sister loved Jesus. You better get right so you can go with them. Well, time is over, but I ain't over. See? So we got to quit letting people devalue you. Just because you didn't get promoted don't mean you're not promotable. Just because somebody left you and divorced you don't mean you're worthless. You're going to be somebody else's good husband or good wife. Because your children don't want to love on you. Come here, little boy. Come here, son. Come here, little boy. Your child, your blood don't want to love you. God will give you another child to love on you. Children always coming up, loving on me, hugging on me. Now, when they babies, they don't do that. When they infants, they don't talk to me. What little boy called me Jesus? One little boy called me Jesus the other day. Lazarus? Who was Lazarus? Who was Darius? Oh, my bad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a little boy saw me outside. He said, "Hey, Jesus." I said, "Whoa." I said, "Lord, he was playing. Lord, he was playing." And his daddy said to him, he said, what you call him? He said, "That's Jesus." I said, "No, son." I almost started crying. I said, "No." He said, "No, you Jesus." Then it dawned on me, oh, I got it. Because I preach about him all the time. Since I preach about Jesus, that's all I associate you with. You Jesus. So how many other Jesus we got in here? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive.